And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
You can probably think of many important days in your life. Days where you made decisions that shape your entire life here on the earth. Possibly the job that you chose, the person you chose to be your mate, or the times that your children were born. These are important days. But the truly important days are the days when we make decisions that shape our eternal destiny, the type of life that we will have after this earth is long gone. That's what we're going to talk about today, one of those important days in the life of Jesus. Stay tuned as we explore God's truth for the world. A few weeks ago, we began a new study, a study of Jesus the Christ. We began by looking at the pre-existent Christ, the fact that Jesus was alive and existed long before He was actually born here on the earth, that in fact He existed before the beginning of time. He is the one who created us, the creator of all things, and because of that we know that He had to have existed before the creation of the earth. Last week we noticed the birth of Christ, for He did have a beginning in the sense that His physical body had a beginning. He came to this earth, lived as a man, and died as a man for your sins and for mine. We noticed that He was born, but His birth was a very special one. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He had no earthly father, but a heavenly father. Therefore, God refers to Him in John chapter 3 and verse 16 as His only begotten Son, because truly He was begotten of the Heavenly Father by the action of the Holy Spirit overshadowing the Virgin Mary. So we noticed the virgin birth of Christ. Now today we look at another great event in the life of Christ. We look at His baptism, the baptism of Jesus the Christ. There are many important days in our lives, as we mentioned in our opening comments, but no day is more important to a Christian than the day he is baptized into Christ. Now, it is different for us. We are baptized in order to have our sins washed away, according to Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. We are baptized in order to be saved, according to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. We are baptized in order to enter into Christ, according to Galatians 3 verses 26 and 27. None of these things were true about Jesus, though. Jesus was not baptized for any of these reasons, but He was baptized. Let's examine that today and see exactly what the Bible has to say about this great day in His life. First of all, let's ask the question, how was Jesus baptized? This is a vital question. Jesus' baptism has been recorded for us in order that we might learn from it, in order that we might benefit from it. It did not benefit Him in the sense that it washed His sins away, but it is recorded that we might benefit from the record of His action. So how was it that Jesus was baptized? Well, really, to ask the question is to answer the question if we understand the words being used. So first, let's examine the language of baptism. This is a word that was created. It was created in the 1600s. It was not in the English language prior to that time. But when the translators under the edict of King James of England sat down to translate the Bible, they created a new English word. They created the word baptize and all of its various forms. It comes from the Greek word baptizo. You can hear the similarity in the two words. The Greek word baptizo means to immerse, to plunge, to overwhelm, to dip, or to bury. We find this told to us in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3, in the context. Even if we didn't know the definition of the Greek word, the context of this passage shows us what a baptism is. Beginning in verse 3, Paul writes, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Paul here refers to baptism as a burial, that we are buried into Christ by baptism. We all understand what it means to bury something or to bury someone. They're to be completely covered up. They're to be completely plunged in, dipped into the earth and covered. And such is true of baptism as well, except that the agency is not that of dirt. Rather, we are to be buried in water, as the Bible teaches in other places. This Greek word baptizo was turned into an English word. Rather than translating it as immerse, as it should be, it was turned into a brand new English word, baptize. Now this was done, of course, because the translators feared what King James might think of them if they actually translated the word as they should. Had they translated it as they should, it would indicate that those of the Church of England who had been sprinkled, or those who had had water poured on them, had not obeyed God. Well, that's exactly what the Bible teaches. If we have water sprinkled on us instead of being buried in water, or have water poured on us, even if we call it a baptism, we have not been baptized as the Bible speaks of it. For Bible baptism is a burial and immersion in water. Now, had the writers of the New Testament, the Holy Spirit guiding them, wanted to indicate that water should be sprinkled over a person, they could have done so. There is a word in the Greek language. It is the word rampizo. This word is translated sprinkle. It means to sprinkle. In fact, there is an Old Testament figure. We find this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28, where the Hebrews writer says, "By faith he kept the Passover," this is speaking of the man Moses, "and the sprinkling of blood, lest he be destroyed," or lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. We understand here that Moses kept an Old Testament ordinance, the sprinkling of blood. Now, this was done at the time of the Passover. Later, this was done at the Day of Atonement for the Old Testament people under that covenant. This is the Greek word, rantizo. Had the writers of the New Testament, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, wanted to tell us that a person should be sprinkled in order to be saved, to have his sins washed away, in order to enter into Christ, they certainly had a word to use. But that is not the word that we find in the text. We also see that just as this Old Testament sprinkling of blood was a figure, was a shadow of something that was to come, we have explained to us the New Testament substance. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, Peter writes that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. It is not that we are to have water sprinkled over us in baptism, but rather we are to be baptized into Christ that we might receive this cleansing. That's what the sprinkling indicated. That's what it was figurative of. This cleansing of the blood of Christ. We come in contact with that blood when we are buried into His death, where that blood was shed. That, of course, is what we read from Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. There is also a Greek word that would indicate that water should be poured on us. It is the word ekkeo, and it simply means to pour something out. We find this word used in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh." So we see three different Greek words. To baptizo indicates that which is plunged or immersed. Rantizo, that which is sprinkled. And ekkeo, that which is poured out. So, the writers of the New Testament, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, had the ability to say any one of those three things. Yet they are very clear in what they wrote. They wrote that we must be baptized, immersed, in order to be saved. When we find the context of Jesus' baptism, we find it in Matthew chapter 3 and in Mark chapter 1, as well as an account in Luke. But looking at these two accounts, Matthew 3 and Mark chapter 1, we find there that Jesus was baptized, baptizo, he was immersed, he was plunged, and we find that both he and John came up out from the water. See, it wasn't necessary for them to come out of the water if it was just a sprinkling or a pouring. Yet this baptism is described of Jesus going down into the water and coming up out of the water. We find the same language used in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 38, where Philip is teaching the eunuch. The eunuch comes to an understanding and wants to be baptized in order to be saved. And we find, "So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." We find here that both the man doing the baptizing and the one being baptized went down into the water and came up out of the water. This is because baptism is a burial in water, a complete covering or overwhelming by the water. Does this mean that the water is what grants us salvation? Certainly not. We are saved when we do this in obedience to God's command. And it is the blood of Christ that washes our sins away. But when does that happen? It happens when we come in contact with that blood. And that's done so through the act of baptism. We need to also understand that the baptism that Jesus went through was not a ceremonial Jewish cleansing. There were many different washings or cleansings under the Old Testament laws. By the time Jesus walked the earth, there were many more, for the Pharisees and the Sadducees had added their traditions to these things. But this is not what Jesus did. What Jesus did fulfilled God's command, and therefore it was an act of righteousness. That's not what's being referred to. Mark chapter 7, verses 4 through 8, indicate that the Jews of this time washed ceremonially, cleansed ceremonially many different things, cups and saucers and plates, and even themselves. Mark chapter 7 and verse 5 says, "Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?'" They had made it their own tradition and had elevated their tradition to the level of law that they were to wash their hands before they ate. The disciples of Jesus were not following this tradition. We need to understand that what they did was not wrong to wash their hands, but to bind that as a religious ordinance on someone was wrong. For it is God who creates the religious law that we live under, and He has revealed that law to us in His Word. Therefore, we must follow what the Bible teaches, and we cannot add to it, nor should we take away from it. These people washed themselves and many things as a religious act. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what His baptism was about. His baptism was very different. Notice, He did not cleanse Himself, but He was dipped by another. He was baptized by John the Immerser, John the Baptizer. We also notice that what He did was in order to fulfill all righteousness. That's the reason that He gave John. For when He came to John, John said, "I don't need to baptize you. I have need to be baptized of you." He realized that Jesus was greater in standing than he, and more righteous and purer than he. Therefore, he was seeking the baptism by Jesus, rather than the other way around. But Jesus said to allow it to be so, for it behooved them to fulfill all righteousness. What Jesus did was the fulfillment of God's wishes, not the following of the traditions of men. We also need to understand that what Jesus did attracted special attention. The people noticed it. It wasn't an everyday event. The Jewish washings of that time happened all the time. They would not have been considered uncommon. However, what Jesus did caught their attention. So it's easy to see from these things that the baptism that Jesus experienced was not the ceremonial cleansing of the Jewish law. So we see then that Jesus was baptized by going to John and being buried in water, the water of the Jordan River, that He did this for the purpose of fulfilling all righteousness. That's a very important question for us to understand. Exactly why was Jesus baptized? There are some, and I have heard it taught mistakenly, that Jesus was baptized for the same reason we are, or that we should be baptized for the same reason He was. And that's not really what the Bible teaches at all. This baptism fulfilled many different roles that really do not apply to us at all. First of all, we see that this baptism was a sign that Jesus was and is the Messiah. Notice with me the words of John chapter 1, beginning in verse 31. "I did not know Him, but that He should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and He remained on Him. I did not know Him, but He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, this is He who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" You see, John was told by the Lord to go and to baptize, and he did so. A baptism for the remission of sins, calling people to repentance under that Old Testament law. Yet he had been told that the one you see the Spirit descend upon, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. He is the one who is the Son of God. So when Jesus came to John to be baptized, this event and the Spirit afterwards coming and resting upon Jesus was a sign that He is in fact the Messiah, the Savior of all mankind. When I was baptized, that was not the purpose at all, for I am not the Savior, and it was not a sign to indicate to anyone that I am the Messiah. Such was true of Jesus, but is not true of me. We see this also indicates to us from this great event that Jesus is the administrator of Holy Spirit baptism. We receive many thousands of questions from viewers and listeners each year, and always this question is asked about Holy Spirit baptism. We read in John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself did not baptize but His disciples, He left Judea and departed again to Galilee." Now, why do I bring up that passage in a discussion of Holy Spirit baptism? You see, when Jesus was baptized and the Spirit descended upon Him, this was an indicator that He was the one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus taught many people as He walked this earth, and by extension, through the action of His disciples, He baptized many people. But He did not actually do the immersing. He did not actually do the baptizing. For the baptism that He administers was not one of water, but rather one of the Holy Spirit. This was done in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost following His ascension, when He baptized the apostles in the Holy Spirit, giving them the ability to work miracles and to pass on those gifts to other people. We also see this as a great event in the life of Christ because it marked His reception of the Holy Spirit. It is upon this day that Jesus received the Spirit again from His Father. Now, this is a matter of fulfilling prophecy. Isaiah chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." The Spirit coming to rest upon Christ, Him being anointed with the Holy Spirit on this day, was a fulfillment of that great prophecy. It's also possible, if we read the account from Luke in Luke chapter 3, that the Spirit coming to Him may have been an answer to His own prayer. Sometimes we don't discuss the matter, but when Jesus came up out of the water, we're told in Luke 3 and verse 21 that He prayed to the Father. And it was at this time that the Spirit came and rested upon Him. Now, what He prayed for, we are not told. But it's possible that the Spirit coming to Him was one of the things that an answer to the prayer that He made. A third reason that this baptism was so great is that it marked the beginning of His public ministry. So why is it that Jesus was baptized? He was baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness, as we read earlier. He was baptized because this was a sign that He was the Messiah, that the Holy Spirit came upon Him on this day, and this was the beginning of His public ministry. This public ministry begins with His being tempted by Satan. Lord willing, next week we're going to look at those temptations in greater detail, so we'll not mention them today. I do know from Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, it says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" It was from this time that He began to make a public ministry, to go about and to teach repentance of the people. We also need to understand that being baptized was a mark of His complete obedience to the Father. Jesus stands as a tremendous example to all of us in every way. But if there's one thing that we should see above in His life, above all other things, it is that He was obedient to the Father. Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, we've already noticed the words, but let's look at them again. "John tried to prevent Him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then He allowed him." We need to understand it was not for the remission of his sins, for he had no sins to be remitted, but it was to fulfill the righteousness of God. John's mission was one of preaching a baptism of repentance, but Jesus could not repent, for he had no sins of which to repent. We see that there were many who did come to John requesting baptism. He required of them that they bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Matthew chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. He did not require such of Jesus, for he did not have any sins. There was nothing for him to repent of, and no fruit of that repentance to be brought. Jesus was baptized in the waters of Jordan at the hands of John D. Mercer. He did so in order to fulfill the righteousness of God. He did so in order that we might have a sign that He was truly the one who came to save men from their sins. He did so because it was at this time that God anointed Him with the Holy Spirit. He did so to indicate that He is the one who would be the administrator of Holy Spirit baptism and not any man. He did so in order that we might have an example of tremendous obedience that we might follow and be saved as well.